Good morning. Today's Mishnah is brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh in Masechet Kelim, Perek Yodaled, Perek Kli Matachet, and we're going to be continuing some of the issues that we spoke about before, and that was the idea of what happens with a clay matachet that had multiple functions. What happens with a clay matachet that is broken but retains some of its functions? And what happens with a clay matachet which serves a function, but not a function that it was originally designed for, and then the need for being miyached it for another function in order for it to become tummy. So therefore, what we want to know now is, this is very similar to the way we had it set up for the kelim of kli cheres. We asked what constitutes a broken kli, and this is the question as well for clay matachot. So clay matachot, and remember we made a very fundamental distinction between the two, and that is that a clay matechet, because of its repairability, is not generally meant to be used for something else, because I'd rather repair it and make use of it the way it was designed. Masha'enkein, when it comes to a kli cheres, I'll use it for something rather than throwing it out. I mean, that's obviously your psychological sense of it. And so therefore, it includes other secondary usages. So what would be the minimum shear where something is still, even though it's broken, it's still considered to be serviceable? So let's say you've got a bucket. Okay, again, we're talking about a very metal bucket. So then it would need to still be able to draw from the well. Originally, maybe it would draw 5 gallons. If you can get it to draw enough water to drink yourself a ravis, so then they're fine. It's still usable as a bucket. And therefore, it's still shayach to Kabbalah's tumah, and it didn't lose its tumah. Let's say you have a kumkum. So a kumkum is what we call a kettle, as opposed to a mecham, which is one of those giant, you know, samovar things, much larger than a kumkum. So a kumkum, if you could still have enough metal left around it, the top of it may be busted, but you could still cook yourself a cup of coffee. So if it's still able to cook a cup of coffee, it's still a kettle. A mecham, what about an urn? So what would that be? So since a mecham is often used for holding, stashing cash, if it's still big enough to hold a slaim in, so then it's still also, that's part of its initial purpose. And the same thing is true for a lefes. Now, a lefes was what they used in those days for what we call a sink. So they would boil up this big container in order to get, not boil literally, but to get hot water in it. And that would be big enough that you could put in your pots and pans and your dishes and so on. So the lefes still needs to be large enough that it could hold some small containers, because if it holds your containers, then that's still part of what it initially was usable for. If you've got these kitonot, which are just small containers, those kind of things would also be used as long as you could put your small change in it, so your prutot in it. And I'm sure you've all had this experience. We actually do that even today. We've got this, you know, some little thing that's left. You put in your change in it, so that it's always available. You just throw it out, you know. And if you've got measuring things, so midos yayin, they're not going to be tummy unless you could still literally have a large enough shear to measure usable wine for it. Midot shemen have to be usable for the amount of shemen that you would be using in it. Rabbi Eliezer says it's not true. Even if it's measurements, they still end up being used by people for coins. It's not only empty kinds of things that you would put your change in. If it's a measuring thing and it broke, you'd put your change in there even when it wasn't broken, so you can put your change in now. Rabbi Akiva Omer, there's another issue in terms of the usage of kelim that are matechet, and that is, even though we know that the din was, we had that earlier, that the din was that a kli matechet, because we mentioned that there's a machlokas in chulin, whether this is because of its added value when it's finished, or because of its usefulness of a metal kli that generally it's used to be mechabed orchim, so it has to be completely finished. How about if it is completely finished, but it doesn't have a cover? So you didn't finish the total manufacturing, but the ikar kli itself you did. Mechusar chatifa, if it's missing a cover, it's fine. It's still considered to be a kli. But on the other hand, surprisingly, I mean, you think a cover is a major part of the kli. But if it's mechusar litisha, you haven't had a chance to smooth it down, it's got a rough edge, as a metal kli, it is not yet roi lekabel tuma, and it would still be tahor again because of the chashivas of klei matechet. Okay, now continuing the other issue that we had in the previous parak and getting into the details, we said that you can have kelim that are made out of different materials. So you could have part of it that's wood, part of it that's metal, and the question over here is which is the most essential part. So if the metal part is the part, remember we had the whole discussion, if you got one comb, one tooth of a comb that's made out of metal, that would be sufficient about cloak rebuke. I don't understand that. But anyway, we had that whole sugi before. And the difference, of course, is very fundamental because if the metal is the ikr, so then you do not need a base kibble to be tome. Mashenkin, if the wooden part is the ikr, so then if it's pshute kliates, so then it would be tohar. So now the question is, by the way, this is very nogea, even in our lives, in terms of tefillas kelim. Because very often you'll have, I had a case yesterday, literally yesterday, where I got a new shipment from Amazon, and part of it was a spatula that had a silicon spatula part, and then it had a metal pieces that connected it to a plastic handle. You know, one of these fancy, cute spatulas they make nowadays. So over there, the ikar kli, obviously, is the silicon. But silicon is not mechuyev in tefila. So therefore, you should not have to be tevel it for tefila scaling. Of course, mikdash anachmi medamim, you know, nasa mice, of course, I was tevel it anyway. But the point is, it isn't really chayev in tefila. Fine. So let's say, taking this now, to a further detailed, more than we understood it earlier. So let's say you've got a wooden club, you know, and these are like the billy sticks that the cops use. So in those days, they had like this knob that was on top that was made out of metal so they could knock people on the head with it. Alon is showing us. Okay, so this is a billy stick. Where's the knob? I don't see it. Okay, it doesn't look very knobby to me, but all right. But the other one has got the nails sticking out of it. That's a really nice taser, you know. You get the nails sticking out of the top. So if over here, since the main issue over here is to bop people on the head, so the part that's made out of metal is the part that you bop people on the head with, and the rest of it is buttle to the good, exciting part that the cops love to bash your skull. So therefore, the whole thing is tummy. And if you put these metal nails up on top, masmer, simro, same lashon, so then it's tame because those metal sticky things, they really get you nice bleeding heads. Rabbi Shimon Omer, that it's only going to become tame if you've got three rows of spikes. If it's that, so then yeah, then I agree that that's the main point is to make bloody heads. But if they only put in a couple of these nails, so then it's just there to make it look pretty because this is not a very good Mubarak's policemen use them. Okay. And I thought you're not supposed to be speak La Achra Mace, you know? The guy dropped dead. Let's leave him alone. I'm kidding, obviously. Okay.
No, but you
hit the nail. Okay. Kulan Shinasu, therefore that's the point. If it's only made for beauty, like these little nails, even if there'd be a lot of them, they would be tahor, because for sure, things that only decorate a kli are not included in the kli midyan that decorate people. Now, suppose you took a menekes. Remember that a menekes is the word that we use for siphon, and so it's a tube. Now, tubes, metal tubes, have a lot of nice usages, because if you slit a metal tube, you can use half of it as a cover for a piece of wood to protect it. So let's say you took a tube, and this time you didn't slice it. You put it at the end of your cane, you know? So you went ahead and asa barosho mineket. So over there, what's the main thing? The main thing is your cane. And you only put the little piece of mineket at the end of the cane to protect the cane from wet ground and so on, so it shouldn't get worn away. Or if you attach this tube to a door to prevent the doorway from getting ruined by contact with the floor, it's tar. Because obviously the main, this can't be talking about a door of a house, obviously, because a door of a house, anyway, it would be tar because it's b'chur b'lekarka. But even a door of a cabinet. So then again, what is the ikr? The ikr is the wood. So the wood is not mekabel tuma because it's pshute kliates. Now, suppose that originally it actually was being used as a meneket, okay? And then you attached it. So then it can it doesn't lose its din of a tame to be tame from before. When would you make it tahor so that it's bechlal not shayach to keep its tuma? So Beit Shammai says only if you cut it, mishichabel. At that point, it's no longer usable, obviously, as a siphon because you broke the vacuum. And Beit Hillel Omrim, it's only when you connect it to the other things. If you use a nail and you connect it to the end of your cane, or you connect it to your cabinet door, at that point, it's considered to be part of the other thing and not having any of its original tashmish.